The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The bodybuilding world will never be the same.
Get ready for MD Radio with your host, Sean Ray. We'll take you inside the world of health and fitness with a focus on bodybuilding. Now, here's your host, Sean Ray.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of MD Radio. We are on the eve of the NPC National Bodybuilding Championships coming up this coming weekend on the East Coast, I should say the Southeast, where it's probably a nice and warm 70, 80 degrees, I imagine. We're going to head to the East Coast and bring on one of our esteemed women in the industry. I call her the bionic woman. She breaks bones and she keeps coming back. Welcome, Pam Betts, to MD Radio. Pam, thanks for calling in.
I am here, Sean, and yes, I am bionic, aren't I?
You are. Was it a year ago that you went down for the count, or how long has it been?
Yep, it was. It'll be a year Thursday.
Yeah, man, and you just bounce right back up on your feet again, and you just keep it moving. So we're headed down your direction. Now, you don't live actually in Miami Beach where the show is, but you're out in South Florida, right?
I am in Orlando.
Okay, so you're still very familiar with what's going on. And it's not South Beach. A lot of people think we're going right back to Jackie Gleason, and we're not, right?
We are not. We're going to be at the James L. Knight Center in downtown Miami.
Okay, now, is that anywhere where the Miami Heat play? Is that over in that area?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that area very well, but we do know that it is the Hyatt Regency, and all the athletes have microwaves in their rooms, for those that were kind of curious. But walk us through it, because the Nationals has expanded into like a three-day type thing. I mean, it's a huge undertaking, and you've been there literally from the beginning. So tell us what's going to happen in what order.
Well, first I'd like to make one correction. The rooms do not have microwaves in them, but we put a room...
Oh.
With microwaves in them.
I got it. Okay, so there is a designated room that has the microwaves for the athletes to come down.
That is correct. And
okay.
They can bring their food down at any time of the day or night and microwave it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Before one of these knuckleheads will burn the place down. So that's at the Hyatt Regency, and it's 24 hours. It's available, correct? And ProTan is tanning the guys and the girls?
Absolutely.
Okay, so on Thursday, how do we kick things off?
Okay, on Thursday at 1 o'clock, we start weigh-ins and check-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be in the Merrick room at the Hyatt. And then that will continue till 8 p.m. So there's 7 hours at any time during that period that the competitor can check in.
Okay.
There's not a set time. And so that's Thursday.
Okay,
and
that's on. Is there any weigh-ins on Friday?
None.
Okay, so it's Thursday or bust for all the athletes. They've got to get to that scale.
Yeah.
What about checking in on Friday? Can they check in on Friday?
They cannot.
Okay, so everything regarding the athletes' participation has to take place on Thursday. No excuses. If they missed their plane, if they showed up Friday afternoon and said, hey, I'm here, they can't get in.
There might be, you know, depending if there's weather.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing always, that's you know, who knows about that. But, you know, weather-related is what it is.
Or medical.
I will admit that I have a couple of military people that cannot get off before Thursday mid-afternoon, and they won't be able to get there till early Friday morning. But Friday morning, we'll make exceptions for military.
Okay.
But other than that, no. If we're giving you a seven-hour window.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got to make it. So that's on Thursday. Friday, what takes place?
Friday at 1 o'clock, we start with men's bodybuilding.
Yeah, wow. Get started right off the bat, Friday afternoon. Okay.
That's correct. 1 o'clock, men's bodybuilding. We've got women's physique, and we have bikini prejudging.
Yeah, and I mean, that's going to be time-consuming just based on general numbers. So actually, it'll make things easier. Is there anything happening Friday night?
Friday night, well, depends on how long we run.
Okay.
You know, we've been known to run anywhere from, you know, 7, 8, or 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's by Friday night, I think the judges are probably going to be looking cross-eyed.
Yeah, well, we kick it right back off again Saturday morning. So, I mean, the judges do got to rest up, and we're going to bring on a whole different lineup Saturday morning starting at 8. Talk to me.
Now, Saturday morning, we start at 9.
Yeah, oh, you have the women's bodybuilding
meeting. They give the judges a big break.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, I think the athletes meet at 8, correct, the women?
Yeah, probably. I think that's what the schedule is.
Okay.
You know, we've got the competitor meetings going on with women's bodybuilding, men's physique, and figure.
Okay.
And that wraps up the prejudging for Saturday morning, noon, afternoon.
And then so then Saturday night, the finals will start at what time?
5 o'clock.
Which means there will be a meeting, I imagine, for the athletes at like 4, usually it's
right.
An hour before.
And, okay, Sean, what Mike, Big Mike and the rest of our crew does, we post at on a board the times for everyone, where they have to be, what time is their meeting. And so, you know, if you read that board and you take a picture of it with your telephone.
Right.
You will know exactly where you have to be at any given time.
Yeah, you make it pretty easy for the athletes. I mean, once they show up for that first athletes meeting, they should have all the information for the weekend right there available. And, of course, we're going to have Team MD coverage at MuscularDevelopment.com starting on Wednesday when the athletes start to arrive, and we'll be covering it on our website. Also, what will be going on, Pam, is there's a bunch of pro cards being given away. Do you happen to know how many are given out that weekend?
Only 62.
62. I'm going to guess there's probably going to be about at least 700 plus athletes.
Actually, Sean, right now I'm kissing 1,000.
Oh, yeah, we are growing and growing fast. When I go back to 1987, Pam, you were just a little baby when I won the national championships. I think we had 163 athletes back then, and it's grown huge. I know Steve Carroll has been doing some incredible work behind the scenes, and what you do is just second to none. And of course, the team, the entire NPC team that works tirelessly for that weekend, does a great job. So there's 62 cards at stake, and then following weekend will be the Lou Ferrigno Legacy Classic. I mean, I imagine if somebody wins their pro card there this weekend, they could actually go to Santa Barbara and compete, or do they have to go through like Jim Mannion?
I think unless it's an invitational, but they have to get their pro card. So
yeah.
They have to apply for their pro card. It's not just an automatic, we meet you on stage and give you a pro card.
Oh.
They have to go through the IFBB office and pay for their pro card like you do every year.
Yeah,
you know?
So that'll happen. Yeah, so that if they turn pro, they'll have to wait till like, you know, 2015. I know John Lindsay, I think, has a pro figure competition or physique contest in December, but either way, 62 pro cards being handed out. That's going to stack our lineup starting off the season in 2015. But we got to get through this weekend. Someone's going to join the likes on the men's bodybuilding side in the annals of bodybuilding with Lee Haney, who was our first ever NPC national champion back mm-hmm. in 1982. And man, we've come a very long way in what seems to be a very short time. I mean, 1987 is my first memory. I never really had any experience with the nationals until I was literally standing on that stage and taking pictures with Steve Carroll and Jim Mannion, and what an experience that was. So we look forward to your participation, Pam. Where can people go for all the information if they want to print it out or something or see what's up?
Well, for the most part, go to nationalbodybuilding.com.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets, Sean, are available at the door or by going through the box office.
Okay.
And the James L. Knight Center box office, or they're available at the door.
All right. Well, Pam, have a great weekend. This will be the first time I'm not there in many moons.
I know. What's all about that?
I'm going to be emceeing the Lou Ferrigno Legacy Classic competition here in Santa Barbara the following week. But, you know, Team MD's got their people out there on the East Coast, so they'll take care of it. I'm just glad to have a weekend off. But I will be back 1 week from today with all the contest results. So good luck this weekend.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Sean.
All right, that's Pam Betts. I'm going to switch her name from Bionic Woman to Superwoman. She does it all for the NPC and does it very well. We're going to switch gears and bring on a guy that also attained professional status. And as soon as he did, he pretty much disappeared from the landscape. This guy is a very educated man. From what I understand, he was a school teacher. He may still be one. I'm not sure. But the one thing he is famous for is he sent the murderer, Craig Titus, off crying in the background and breaking his trophy after he triumphantly beat him for the USA title. Let's welcome to MD Radio for the very first time, Mr. Phil Hernon. Phil, welcome to MD Radio.
How you doing, Sean? Nice to meet you. Thanks for letting me be on.
Hey, man, I think, was that 1996 that you sent Craig Titus crying away like a little baby?
No, actually, 96, Craig won. He beat Tom Prince. That's won it in 95.
95. You know what?
And then that he threw his trophy and walked off stage. And then they banned him for half the year. Remember that?
Yeah, no, I missed that show. This was in Denver, Colorado, correct?
Yes.
I think I missed that show. I wasn't
sure. You were there, Sean, because you were interviewing us backstage.
Yeah, you're right. I think I was working for ESPN.
Yes.
What I missed was Craig crashing the trophy. All these
me
contests,
too. I was watching the crowd. I didn't know what he was doing back there.
Well,
but
listen,
they gave him a 6-month suspension, but he wasn't going to do the show until the next year anyway. So you know.
Yeah, the suspension really amounted to nothing. It was a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, look, you both were there fighting for the coveted Mr. USA title, and you walked off and won it. And as quickly as you won it, you pretty much disappeared. How many pro shows did you do?
I actually did the San Jose Pro Show in 96, and then the Night of Champions a few weeks after that. And then I kind of was trying to find my way. You know, it's kind of a jump from the Nationals to the IFBB.
Right.
And I wasn't prepared for that kind of jump. I was going through a divorce at the time. I had a newborn child, my daughter, who's now, 19.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like yesterday, like you said, it seems like yesterday.
Well,
but I was pretty stressed. You know, you can't sleep at night when you have a 2-month-old baby, you know?
I can't relate to that because I waited till my career was over. But go ahead. I can imagine what it's like training and trying to raise a kid. But go ahead.
Oh, you know, it was a stressful time. And I just, you know, I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to enter these shows, see where I have to go, and I'll do it better next year. You know, I just want to get my feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
But then I ended up getting a divorce, and I thought, let me back away from this for a while and see what's happening. And then, unfortunately, I made some stupid decisions and ended up in prison for a couple of years.
Boy, that's pretty... Slow down, Phil. You said that you were like glossing over just for a couple of years. What the hell did I miss? I mean, mind you, when this was going on,
I
was
sending something in the mail to Arizona from Ohio.
Right.
And they got me for possession in Ohio and sales in Arizona.
And so a couple of years? I mean, did you do 2 years or 3 years?
Two and a half. I had to do time in Ohio for possession and sales in Arizona. Unfortunately, the feds did not want the case. Otherwise, I would have gotten probation.
Mm-hmm.
But when the state takes the case, Sean, they can really slap you around. So they're kind of making... you know, a symbol out of me to show, hey, don't mess around with this steroid stuff. It's going to kill you, you know, if you use
How old were you?
I was 29.
And so what was the lesson learned? I mean, here you are, you just got your pro card, barely getting your feet wet, and then next thing you know, you're sitting in the pokey trying to figure it all out. You come out. Were you done? Were you finished as a body? I mean, did the hunger and the love for the sport disappear at that time when you came out?
When I came out, the hunger was there because I had an insecurity in me that I always wanted to fit in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I had body dysmorphia. I always thought I was very thin, and I always thought I was stealthy. I could move around, no one would notice me, and I was kind of a shy kid.
Okay.
But I just had some issues with my self-esteem. But when I got out of prison, I was mentally done. Mentally. Physically, I was as strong as ever, but just mentally, I had $35,000 in fines I had to pay. I had to do 500 hours of community service, which meant picking up trash at a racetrack every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, to visit my parole officer, my probation officer, and I had to find a job in Phoenix, Arizona, where I knew no one. When I got out of jail, they said, go find a job and report to the probation officer. I had no job, no car, no place to live. So competing to me was the last thing on my mind. I just wanted to survive to get to tomorrow, you know?
So did it ever come back? Did the thirst to compete ever come back, or did you just let it go?
I think I buried it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I buried it, and it's kind of coming out now, but I'm 48 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I know better. So now, it's coming out in other things, into my children. I'm 100% into my children, as you are.
Yeah.
I'm putting on MMA fights in New York now. We're sponsoring, promoting MMA fights. So I'm staying busy. You know, I'm still in the arena, you know.
And what's your size like? What are you looking like at 48 now?
Oh, I just lost 30 pounds. I'm down to about 220 and pretty, really lean right now.
Okay.
I want to keep my blood pressure under control. I want to keep my cholesterol, my HDL levels within a normal range. And I don't ever eat much over 100 grams of protein a day.
Now, when you were competing, what were you weighing? I mean, in the USA, you look like you're almost 300 pounds.
I was about 234 my first show when Dennis won.
Uh-huh.
And then I was 238 the next year. And then in the pro shows, I was about 255. I really had time to dedicate to training, but I actually got a little bit too heavy.
Mm-hmm. You looked a lot bigger.
I would have needed more time to mature the muscle I put on. I just didn't have enough time. Actually, looking back at it right now, at 29 years old, I really wasn't that old to retire. I see guys reaching their peak in their 30s, you know, like Ronnie Coleman. I thought it was like the NFL. When you get to 29 or 30, you're probably going to fall apart. So I kind of mentally checked out, you know, Sean?
Well, I can imagine sitting in the pokey and doing the labor that you were doing and raising a kid can kind of take away that selfishness that bodybuilding has when it's just about eat, sleeping, and training. Your priorities change really quick when you start having to put life into perspective, and it seems like you were able to do that. How did you rebound? What did you wind up getting involved in that sustained you from not having to get back into bodybuilding as a way of making money?
Yeah, I always worked out, so I found a job at a gym as a trainer, which gave me a little bit of an income. My grandmother, bless her soul, she passed away, left me $35,000 for the house. Mm-hmm. I paid off my fines, I did my community service, and I met a guy online who was selling his gym. He shut it down in Long Island, and he said, "I'm selling all my equipment. Give me $10,000 for everything." So I took every dime that I had. I think my dad lent me money. Took every dime that I had, bought all this flex plate-loaded equipment that he had.
Okay.
Moved back to upstate New York, where I'm originally from, around Syracuse, Rochester area. Opened a gym. Actually, I got to upstate New York. I put everything in storage, waiting for a spot to open. Found an open spot, opened the gym, and it took off. I mean, I made great money for 5 years. Moved to another location, made great money for another 5 years. So 10 years, I finally sold my gym last year. During this time, I got into the peptide business and my own supplement company. So I kind of just fought and scratched my way back, you know? So that's what I'm doing now is I sold my peptide company. I've merged. Now I'm purchased peptides with Lou D'Onofrio. And now, in fact, I'm getting into this. Sounds kind of crazy, but we're opening a Bitcoin mine. I'm not sure if you know what Bitcoin is, but it's the future of money.
Okay.
So we're opening this huge mine here, which is taking all my money now. And hopefully this is going to be a huge thing. Not too many people know about Bitcoin, but Google it, Sean. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, so when you say you're opening a mine, are you digging in the ground and, like, trying to find something?
Bitcoin is an online monetary system. It's going to be worldwide. You're not really actually mining it. You're mining it with computers that solve mathematical equations. So you're getting rewarded with these, quote, bitcoins. And the bitcoin right now is going for like $350 a piece.
Okay.
So with our computers and our hash rate, which is electrical, you know, how many megawatts can we produce? It's all about electricity. So we could hopefully we'll be doing 50 to 60 bitcoin a day, and I'll be a small percentage of that group.
Well, moving forward, I mean, talk about something that I know is bodybuilding. How have you seen it change? I mean, here you were beating up Craig Titus back in the day, earning your NPC card right on the heels of Aaron Baker and guys like David Durth back in that day. And then, boom, as quick as it came, it was gone. I mean, I was Dennis Newman's training partner when he won the USA's in 94, and I got second in the Mr. Olympia, and my career was taking off. And he got diagnosed in 95 when you turned pro with leukemia, and boom, he was gone, and then boom, you were gone. I mean, what did you make of watching from the sidelines as our sport continued to progress without you?
Well, I was real happy to see you continue to progress, because ever since I was a teenager, you did the Teenage KL the year before I did, and I always was thinking you were one step ahead, always one step ahead, you know, and it was really nice to see you carry on and almost, well, you should have won the Olympia.
Thank you. Thank you.
And it was great to see Dexter Jackson, you know, continue on. And I knew you guys, you and Kenny Wheeler, who I grew up with and worked out with as a teenager, I knew you guys had something special and just something I couldn't quite attain, but I felt like I was part of the group and part of the ride. So I was really excited, you know. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, you know, it was something, I was kind of living vicariously through you guys.
Yes.
At that point, I knew what Dennis was going through. Now, I wasn't facing a death sentence here. Neither was Dennis, but he didn't know this, you know.
Right.
I just knew that I had to do 2.5 years, and then I'll get back out. But Dennis's could pop up at any time. I mean, I don't know if it's immune deficiency or, mm-hmm. you know, is it genetic with him? I mean, I'm sure he's a little post-traumatic, you know, on this whole issue, which I was when I got out, too, because it puts things into perspective. Basically, it puts things into perspective for you. Mm-hmm. How important is this bodybuilding? How many more years will I eventually, you know, be able to enjoy my life? What's important? I have 2 children. I'm in prison. I have 2 daughters out there, you know. It just put things into perspective for me, and I did fall prey to the woe is me, look at me now. But if you know that there's always someone off worse than you,
right,
and you can kind of relate to their situation, it put things into perspective for your own situation. And I couldn't put too much of an emphasis on, hey, I'm at the top of the world, winning the USA, now I'm a nobody. I'm still a somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You just have to deal with the fact that you're going to not be held in such high regard when you walk around, especially if you've been to prison, you know?
Well, I mean, let's put things in perspective. I mean, you won the USA Championships in 95, and again, you beat the bad boy of bodybuilding in Craig Titus, and we know how the Craig Titus story ended. He had everything on a silver platter. He was living the rock and roll lifestyle of a bodybuilder, putting on after parties at shows. Yeah. And you were in the Pokey, a place that he would wind up as well. He was facing drug charges with ecstasy and some other anabolic issues, and he came out and had another opportunity, a second shot. And this time around, he got married to our leading fitness lady, which was Kelly Ryan, and of course we know he wound up in jail on a murder charge that he did plead guilty to. So what did you make of that whole scenario? I mean, he showed some flashes of, like, the bad boy guy, but did you ever think, you say there's always someone worse off than you, that it would go to that degree with a guy that you beat for the title?
I never could grasp the fact that anybody would kill anybody. If I personally knew somebody and they said they had killed somebody, I couldn't really come to grips with it. Craig, you know, did you know Craig at all, Sean?
I didn't know Craig very well. I knew him well. I was with him when he met his wife in Windsor, Michigan. I was there when he bought his house. I actually showed him where to buy. I had a place out in Las Vegas. And at the weekend that this murder actually happened, we were supposed to be scheduled to be in the country of Dubai at a Sean Ray muscle camp, but it was canceled. Oh. My partner broke his back in September, and so between September and December, all of these things transpired, and unfortunately, my muscle camp was canceled, and this was the weekend that Craig and Kelly decided to go, you know, 51-50.
Yeah, I guess close with Craig once. I believe it was in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just 2 different people. I mean, he would be trying to talk to all these women, and I was very quiet, and I was married at the time, and I don't seek out those kind of relationships. You know, that's just me. Nothing against him, but he was very out there, and, you know, look at me.
Yeah.
And right in front of boyfriends and husbands, and I thought, I don't want to get too close to this guy if someone starts shooting, you know. I never really got to talk to him because he was so interested in talking to all the young women, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Craig was, like I said, the rock and roll star, you know, bodybuilding guy. He lived it to the full, cover guy, sponsorships, married the number one fitness girl in our industry, and then moved out to Vegas. They were doing it. It didn't end well for him. But now that you're watching the sport of bodybuilding from the sidelines at the, I don't even want to say the advanced age of 48, because, you know, you got Tony Freeman and Dexter Jackson in their late 40s doing it. But when you watch it now, do you see what you used to be in love with, or do you look at it with a different set of eyes?
No, I see what I fell in love with. Mm-hmm. I think this generation, though, it's more like the fast food generation. I think in our, when I matriculated into bodybuilding, I had expectations of the sport, and I don't think that the sport turned out to be quite what I expected. Although I think now with the men's physique, I think the attrition rate is a little bit higher now. You can go into these other things. If you don't make it right away in bodybuilding, you can go into the fitness. You can go into the men's fitness or men's physique. In our day, Sean, I knew Sean Ray was doing the Nationals, and then if he didn't win, he'd do it next year. If he didn't win, he'd do it the next year. And Matarazzo would do it the next year and the next year, and Flex Wheeler and, you know, whoever was going to be doing it. We had five or six main guys that were just, they were there all the time. Now, I don't know who's doing the Nationals or the USA or besides Dusty, you know.
Mm-hmm. Is that because you're not following it, or are they just not publicized?
I follow it, but I don't see the same guys anymore. I see them going into fitness or figure or, there's no like following of these guys. They're either in it for 1 year and then they're gone or.
Right.
It's not like in our time I felt like they gathered a following. You know, like college football players in our day played 4 years, you know. Mm-hmm. Now they'll play one or two and they're gone. The team can't build up any following, you know.
Well, let me ask you something. With your experience now and the lessons that you've learned and your wisdom and maturity, what advice would you give this weekend's overall national title champion as he begins to embark on what potentially could be the career you never had as a professional bodybuilder? What would you tell him so that he can utilize that wisdom going forward with his career?
I would tell him to keep things in perspective, if that's possible. Understand that you're still a person, and don't think of yourself as any better of a person that you won this show, because someone had to win. Because the ride down is a lot tougher than the ride up. Don't let it define you as a person. Always try to help others and be good to others and think of others. And I think that'll balance the ego that seems to overtake us sometimes in our mind when we get all this adulation from the crowd. You know, you got to go home and be by yourself after the cheering stops, you know?
Yeah, that is great perspective and insight, because we are in an industry of vanity and self-glorification, and if you don't have the right perspective on the way up, clearly you'll hit every branch on the way down, and it's very hard to get a second shot at that fame and fortune when you misuse and mistreat the privilege of holding on to that title and also graduating from the NPC into the IFBB. So those are words of wisdom that I think apply across the board, even if you're winning a state or a local show. But a national title, very few people have a chance to win. And when you do, you got to seize the day and also be very thankful and appreciative. Phil, it's good catching up with you here at MD Radio. I've been bringing on these guys from way back in the past. Real quick, where can people reach you if they wanted to catch up with you?
I'm on Strength and Physique Board. On Facebook, I'm on my own Facebook page, I guess. I'm on there all the time chatting and joking around, so they can catch me on there.
Any plans for any type of physique display, or are you just training for general health?
You don't want to see my physique display. I don't want to come back and say, here's a lesser version of what you guys already saw, you know?
You were extreme. You were right there with the Paul DeMeos and
I don't
Mike
want to see John Jefferson out there wide receiver anymore. I don't want him coming back.
I got it, man. All right, well, thanks for calling in, Phil, and we'll catch up with you.
If you
got some news, come back here and break it here at MD Radio.
Thanks, Sean. Bye-bye.
All right, that is a former USA overall champion back in the mid-90s, 95. That happened to be, I believe, around the time that a young Jay Cutler was turning pro at the NPC National Championships as well. 95, we saw Dorian Yates winning the Mr. Olympia Championships, and it was a very good time to be a bodybuilder. Unfortunately, Phil never got a chance to really take his physique to the next level, and that's one of life's lessons he's living with, but he's also probably benefiting, along with his family, from those tough lessons of being the USA champion. We're going to come back from our first commercial break here at MD Radio, and hopefully on the other side of this break, we we will have one of the naturals, a guy that was almost a shadow of myself. I looked at him and I saw a lot of Sean Ray in him, former USA overall champion Richard Jones. We are waiting for his call here at MD Radio right after this commercial break.
This is Marcus Haley of The Common, and you're listening to MD Radio with Sugar Sean Ray.
Focus, strength, recovery, results. Introducing Maximize, brought to you by iForce Nutrition. Tired of the same old caffeine buzz? Are you ready to step into a new world of power, energy, and intensity? Maximize has set a new standard in the supplement world, delivering tunnel vision focus, cell swelling volumization, and unstoppable endurance. Don't settle for the current crop of underclothes products. It's time to join the next generation with Maximize, the only pre-workout supplement you need for extreme gains in strength and performance. Don't just train. Maximize your workouts. Visit www.iforcenutrition.com for details.
Over the years, iForce Nutrition has brought you some of the most powerful muscle-building products ever seen in the bodybuilding world. Now, after years of research and development, we are proud to introduce our first launch into the world of thermogenic fat loss with Adipoxil. Adipoxil isn't your run-of-the-mill fat burner. Adipoxil is new and rewriting the definition of fat loss. Adipoxil's competition strength formula is so powerful, in one cycle, you can go from soft to shredded. When being lean isn't enough, get shredded with Adipoxil. For more information, visit iForceNutrition.com.
With over 300 locations and 2 million members worldwide, Powerhouse Gym has been helping people achieve their goals since 1975. Whether you're visiting the gym for the first time or you're a seasoned professional, you'll see why Powerhouse Gym is the strongest name in fitness. Visit PowerhouseGym.com to get a free guest pass to a location closest to you or to inquire about opening your own Powerhouse Gym location. At Powerhouse Gym, you're not just a number, you're family.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you've ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like some banned substances, but rest assured, there's nothing illegal in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB living legend Flex Wheeler. And now you too can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Everyone knows that beef is king when it comes to building quality muscle mass. Now you can have all the anabolic power of beef with Carnivore. Beef protein isolate from muscle mass, packed with 20 times the creatine of steak and loaded with extra BCAAs. Carnivore is more concentrated than whey. Beef up with Carnivore, the most sought after muscle building protein ever created. For more information, visit MuscleMedsRx.com.
Arginine and AAKG are dead.
War is over. MHP introduces InnoBomb, the world's first clinically tested nitric oxide maximizing formula. Did you experience real workouts and pumps with InnoBomb?
Anyone who understands the supplement market knows that fat burners as a class of products are virtually dead. Why? Because none of these products have delivered the kind of real results people have been looking for. I'm not kidding when I tell you, that's all over now. Because Mitotropin is so powerful and so profoundly different than anything else on the market, we couldn't even call it a fat burner for fear would be associated with this useless category. That's how good it is. Welcome to the world of Mitotropin.
This is Jay Cutler, and you're listening to Team MD Radio with Sean Ray.
Run! Oh my God! Business as usual, man! Run! Hey! I still here! It's going again!
For the best workout of your life, use Nox Pump, the strongest pre-workout powder in bodybuilding. Get Nox Pump at health food stores everywhere.
Shop the new MD Supplement Superstore, where you can find more of your favorite brands and products, upgraded customer service, and engaging cutting-edge research, along with the industry's most competitive prices.
You're listening to MD Radio with Sean Ray. If you want to get in on the action, call Team MD now at 1-866-472-5788. Now back to MD Radio with Sean Ray.
All right, we are on the countdown to the upcoming NPC National Bodybuilding Championships taking place this weekend out in Miami Beach, Florida. That's downtown Miami Beach. That's not South Beach. It's a whole different audience over there, but nevertheless, 62 pro cards will be handed out, and upwards of 1,000 athletes will run across that stage in 3 days. So that's going to be taking place beginning on Thursday with the athletes' check-ins, and then prejudging Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's going to be a long weekend. Nonetheless, we've got the team on the ground. The A-Team at Muscular Development will be bringing you all the contest coverage right here at www.musculardevelopment.com. We've already got a thread started. Our online editor, Adina Zanoli, has started that. Just look up 2014 NPC Nationals news and information. You'll find the schedule of events, the timeline, and, of course, you'll see the online thread, which will give you a running account of each category, call-outs, and comparisons, along with photography that's second to none, as if you were there. Without further ado, let's go back to the year 2003 in Las Vegas, where what looked to be the second coming of Sugar Sean Ray in the form of Richard Jones, don't you know, no good, by way of South California. Welcome to MD Radio, Richard.
Yes, Sean, how you doing?
I say South California because God only knows where you are in the world, man. You're one of those guys that's like that 747 in Malaysia that just disappeared off the map, and here you are. What's going on?
What's up, Sean? You know, I have other interests outside of bodybuilding, man, so I'm just off doing my thing sometimes, and it's not that I forget about the bodybuilding world, but, you know, I'm just off doing my other things, just have other interests and focus. So
yeah, life does have a way of taking,
you know, my heart.
Life does have a way of getting in the way of the diehard people that want to know where our bodybuilding champions have gone. I had Mike Christian on last week. We hadn't heard from him in upwards of a decade, so it's good to hear your voice. We just had Phil Hernan on, who was the 95 national champion. And so are you in Southern California? You're from Massachusetts.
Yes, born and raised in Boston. I moved out here in 95. Yeah, ended up finishing college out here and really never looked back. Picked up my competitive career here, and I was fortunate enough to you know, meet some pros like you, Dennis Newman, Troy Zuccolato, who took me under their wing and essentially just helped me turn pro. And, you know, of course, I won the USA in 2003 on my first try, which really catapulted my career. So,
yeah,
you know, I was
very
fortunate
about
that.
You won a lot of things on your first try. Let's not be too humble. You started off with the Orange County, Mr. Orange County competition. You went on to become a Mr. California champion as well. And then you went in and won the USAs, landed on the cover of Flex magazine, landed a two-year contract, competed very briefly when people look back at a bodybuilding career, kind of like Phil Hernan. You were here 1 minute, gone the next. And was it the fact that you just had so many other interests that kept you from just diving in 100% and selling out to bodybuilding like so many athletes do? Because you maintained a job throughout your career. It seemed like bodybuilding just happened to be something you were good at while you were kind of moonlighting, working on establishing your own identity outside the bodybuilding world. Can you give us some perspective?
That's a good question, Sean. You know, like I said, I turned pro on my first try, which really catapulted my bodybuilding career. I really didn't expect that. I was very fortunate that it happened. You know, and then I placed third in my first pro show, which qualified me for the 2004 Mr. Olympia. competed in the Mr. Olympia, and I felt at that time, you know, there was no 202, there was no 212. Mm-hmm. It was just, you're pro, get on stage, that's it. You know, so your weight was irrelevant. And I've never been known, I turned pro as a light heavyweight. I've never been known for being, you know, a big guy. I've always been known for, you know, symmetry, classic lines, and condition. But at that level, you're competing against the best of the best of the best in the world. And a lot of people don't realize that. So I just felt at that time that because it kind of exceeded my expectations of even becoming a professional bodybuilder, I stepped away because competing in the 2004 Mr. Olympia kind of felt like it solidified my career at that point. And, you know, I was realistic. You know, I looked around. Ronnie competed at 297.
Right.
You know, Jay Cutler was formidable. You know, it was Marcus Rule, Gunther. You know, and here I am, you know, roughly around 204. You know, I essentially couldn't hold the candle to those guys. So, you know, I was happy to be there. I was honored. My parents were there. So I felt at that time it kind of solidified my career. So I had stepped away and continued my education and got my master's degree.
And I got to tell you, it takes a very strong personality to be able to have that kind of perspective on their career when you are on the biggest stage in the world. It's the Mr. Olympia. It's definitely exceeded what you started out to become. I never heard you say, I'm going to be Mr. Olympia. I mean, I've heard you talk about dreaming of being a pro bodybuilder and talk about maybe dreaming of being on the Olympia stage. And when that dream came true for you, it seemed like the cup ran over. You didn't have to win it to be satisfied. And very few athletes get to that level and leave and feel satisfied about what it was they accomplished. But very few bodybuilders have anything to walk away to. And I always knew you had other things that you could walk away to and balance out. Is that one of the pitfalls that a lot of bodybuilders today experience, is they put all their marbles in this one basket and they get to the Olympia or they get to their first pro show and things don't go their way, and yet they stay and pound their head against a wall that's never going to drop, and then they turn around and 5-10 years down the road, they're still doing the same thing and getting no return, whereas you were able to go, okay, I got what I needed, I did what I wanted to do, made out of in first, but now I can move on and live this other aspect of my life.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, you know, bodybuilding's hard, Sean. I mean, it's hard. You know, you've done it for a number of years. You were one of the very few that happened to be, you know, a champion amongst, you know, champions. Not everyone has those type of genetics. Not everyone has that type of career. There's well over 200 and, correct me if I'm wrong, there's well over 220 professional bodybuilders these days, mm-hmm. but you only have a handful of guys that actually make a living out of it.
Right.
And with that being said, you know, it's really, really tough for the athlete who's in the trenches and puts his time in and doesn't really get that reward. I recognize that I would never be a Ronnie Coleman or a Jay Cutler. I recognize that at an early age. So, even before I got into, you know, the pro ranks, I kind of solidified things outside of bodybuilding so I can keep bodybuilding kind of as a recreational thing and follow my passion. And if I happen to make a living at it, great. If not, then I have something to fall back on.
Well, I mean, hey, not for nothing, but, I mean, you came out of the USA Championships. You signed a 2-year contract with Weider, so now clearly you can just eat, sleep, and train if you so chose. You saw a little bit of the world. You traveled a bit. I know we did a muscle camp out there in Australia, and I'm sure you traveled a little bit more than that, making appearances on your own. But for some time, you were living the dream, and you were like the next Sean Ray of your time. But you were coming up in the throes of a mass monster era, just like I was. You had Ronnie Coleman went on to win the 2004 and lost ultimately in 2005 to Jake Cutler. The landscape was changing. Did you think when the 202 came along, I promoted the first ever 202-pound show in New York in 2007, you jumping into that and maybe trying to monetize that as a way of staying in, or were you just too realistic with how far you were willing to take your body?
You know, Sean, I actually did come back in 2009. I did the Pittsburgh in the 202 division. And, you know, it didn't go well. You know, because I had been out of the sport for, you know, at that time, 5 years, you know, I'm just going to be candid with you. I forgot what, you know, what I needed to do and, you know, how my body was going to respond to certain things. You know, I essentially forgot. And I was just, you know, what I should have done is just gone back to the drawing board. And I hate making excuses for shows because ultimately it falls on my shoulders. But, you know, I forgot. I just forgot, you know, what it takes to be at that level, be at that conditioning and that size and be a formidable competitor like I was at the USA. And so when I came back in 2009, I didn't have a good showing. You know, I just didn't, you know. In addition to that, I was juggling a couple of things. Like, I'm not trying to make excuses, but that's essentially what happened. And I was juggling a couple of different things. I think I was getting my degree in forensic science and, you know, and it was a very demanding program. I was devoting time to that, and all while trying to diet, you know. So it was tough, and I didn't put forth the effort that I needed to be, you know, forced on stage. So
isn't it like getting civilized and then being called back to duty? Just the testosterone, the hunger, the fire, the need to succeed is marginalized because you got a taste of the outside world and real life while you're competing against guys that are just eat, sleeping, and training and breathing bodybuilding. And like you said, maybe the time, you forgot some, but maybe the time passed you by because these guys were like freaking gladiators in there trying to get those contracts that you once had. And that could have also marginalized what you actually were capable of, because you were one of the guys that had the best genetics and pedigree out there. You were surrounded by a gene pool of people that were, you know, the dream team as far as advisors and training partners. Do you miss it? I mean, does it call you every so often, or are you a spectator and you just appreciate it for what it is now?
Yeah, no, Sean, I definitely miss it. You know, I've been competing since I was 18, you know, 40 now. And with that being said, you know, that's 22 years in, and, you know, I've gotten an opportunity to compete in the Mr. Olympia. I competed again in the Night of the Champions and the Mr. Olympia for that matter. I competed against guys that, you know, that were on my wall when I was growing up. I mean, I would cut out magazines, a Flex magazine, a Muscle Fitness, and put these individuals on my wall, and the next thing you know, I'm standing next to them. You know, guys like you and Dennis Newman and Troy Zuccolato, and, you know, I would look up to you guys, and next thing you know, I'm training with you guys. And it was just a surreal moment for me. It was a surreal experience. And yes, it does call me. So I always have that bodybuilding inside, because that's what I started to do. What burns inside of me is I've never done the Arnold, you know, and I know that's a great show, and I know you were an Arnold Classic champion in 1991. Mm-hmm. And that's one show that I've never done, and I've always wanted to do the Arnold, because I just know it's really run well, and I really respect Arnold for what he's done. And, you know, I'd also like to do the Olympia one more time. So that, so, you know, as far as the burning desire, yes.
I heard you say one more time. So are you saying at 40, there's still maybe another opportunity to see Richard Jones step on an IFBB Pro stage in 2015?
There's definitely an opportunity. There's definitely... definitely a chance. You know, I'm actually I'm putting things together now, and you know, I'm trying to put it together, and hopefully I can get on stage next year, because, you know, I get a lot of messages. I have a lot of fans, and, you know, I appreciate my fans for even sticking with me for this many years. And a lot of them would like to see me back on stage, and, you know, unfortunately, Sean, my mom passed away April of last year, a week before my birthday. And now my dad's getting old, so I, you know, even though I say that I want to do the Arnold because I've never done it and compete in Mr. Olympia one more time, I'd also like for my dad to see me compete one more time. So,
well, there's nothing more dangerous than a bodybuilder training with a purpose. First of all, we're sorry at Muscular Development to hear about the passing of your mom, but nothing burns stronger inside of a person training to compete for their kids or for their family, for an opportunity for someone to experience it with them. And I'd love to see you back on the stage. Listen, time may pass, but your genetic structure is there. If you find the hunger, 40 is the new 30. So, I mean, it's definitely still a very good opportunity to get on that stage. And if you do, I need you to come back here at Muscular Development and break that information so we can chart and your progress and make sure everybody knows that Richard Jones is making a comeback to the bodybuilding stage. We certainly know we could love to see your physique up there at least one more time. But Rich, right now, what's happening for you now? A lot of people are, where's Richard Jones? What's he doing? What's he up to? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't keep up with the guys as I once used to. So when I bring guys on the show, what's a typical day for you like? What are you involved in? What's happening?
Well, I have my teaching credentials. So I teach a lot at the local police academy here in San Diego. I teach defensive tactics, and I teach arrest control techniques with the new recruits of the police departments here in San Diego County. And I also do investigations for a big corporation here in San Diego as well. So I do private investigations for them. I do backgrounds and stuff like that. So that's typically, I'm sitting in my Tahoe right now, just getting off work. I'm about to head home from a long day, so.
Well, it's 11 years past the time that you were crowned the USA champion. And this coming weekend, we're going to have a new national champion come to fruition. A lot of guys, they win their pro card, and they sit out for a year trying to add more mass. It seems to always be the common thread through most of these guys. I'm not big enough, and they're constantly trying to get big. You were never known as one of the bigger guys. You were known as more quality, classic, artistic, beautiful in the lines of a Frank Zane and a Labrada. And you would beat guys much bigger than you based on that. What advice would you have? I asked Phil Hernon a minute ago. What advice would you give this year's overall national champion this weekend when he wins that pro card? What's like the first thing he should do?
The first thing he should do when he, when that new champion, that new king is crowned, he needs to make a decision. He needs to make a personal decision with himself or his family, and either it's all or nothing. Go 100% or just not at all. You know what I mean? Bodybuilding is just not a sport where you can half-ass it. You can't. It's either all or nothing. And even that 90%, you're going to fail. That 10% is going to be exploited by your competitors. Now, as you know, Sean, and a lot of people listening, that at this level, you're competing. When you compete at the local level, you're the best in that county, and then you compete at the state level, you're the best in the state, and then you go on to the USA or the Nationals, you're best in the country. But at the pro ranks, you're competing against the best of the best of the best. And people don't realize that everyone's a champion up there. Everyone's won local shows, whether it's Wisconsin or Texas or Florida. It doesn't matter. You're surrounded by champions. So with that being said, if you're going to devote to bodybuilding, you're going to be on that next level, go 100%. And have a talk with your family or yourself or your significant other and make sure you have that support, and then go for it 100%.
Well, all right, Rich, we appreciate that advice. Spoken like a true champion. Look forward to bigger and better things in 2015. Come back here anytime and check in with your fans. We'd love to keep a track on your progress, and want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. And show us some pictures, man. Go visit us at the website, www.muscularvelopment.com, and interact with your fans. They're still there. They're waiting for your return, my friend.
Well, I appreciate it, Sean. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Richard Jones, your 2003 USA NPC overall champion, on the comeback trail in 2015. Stay tuned. We'll keep you abreast with all of those updates. And for the record, guys, Phil, Richard, these guys, they competed at a time where, you had to win the overall. You had to beat everybody. They weren't giving out given anything, and then they had to make something of it. And Richard was one of those guys that did the best with what he had and certainly has no regrets. And he's healthy. The guy's never been injured. So we look for his return. I want to thank all of our listeners. We've had over 409,757 people tune in to MD Radio so far this year, and the year's not over. So looking to break that 500,000 mark by the time we get to the new year. You guys keep tuning in. We'll keep bringing it to you each and every week. And next week, we'll come back with the results of the NPC National Championships. I got my daughter here tugging my shirt. I don't know if you guys watched this year, but we had a television show called Raising Asia this year, and my little nine-year-old, was the star of the show. Asia Monet wants to give everybody a shout-out. We know we got Thanksgiving weekend coming up next week. Asia, what do you want to say to my listeners out there in MD land?
Hi, everybody, and I hope you guys have a great show and keep tuning in to the show.
All right, that's Asia Monet making her debut on MD Radio. But with that, we're coming to a close of this hour's edition of Muscular Development Radio. I want to thank Phil Hernon for calling in and also Richard Jones. We're going to keep bringing these guys out of the woodwork. We are fast approaching on the NPC National Championships this weekend, followed by the Lou Ferrigno Legacy Championship Thanksgiving weekend on the 28th and 29th at Santa Barbara. So make sure you don't go anywhere. We're going to be finishing the year. Also, I'm going to be compiling up the year's biggest stories, and we're going to have our caller call-in radio show before the year's over as well, where you guys can call in and ask whatever you want to ask, and I'll try to answer it. We'll probably have Bob Chick on next week. As a matter of fact, he'll be out there at the Nationals, and we'll get his perspective from Ground Zero in Miami. All right, so make sure you tune back in. 1 week from today, we'll have a new national overall champion along with 62 other IFBB pros. 1 week from today. For MD Radio, I'm Sugar Sean Ray. Peace. Time for some Monday Night Football.
You've been listening to MD Radio, a look at the world of bodybuilding and health and fitness. Join Sean Ray again next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.